Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Actually Comics. We were just talking about poop, but now we're not. Nope. Because we don't want to
talk. This is a poop-free zone.
This is not going to be a conversation about pooping. Nope. This is going to be actually about comics.
That's what
because
I call
it's
it that.
Actually Comics. And my name is Tristan, and I'm joined by Bob.
Correct. It is
sweet
me.
Sweet catchphrase, bro.
Well, what was my old one? Yes, hi.
Yes, hi. They're both on par, I think.
Yep.
So yeah, let's talk about
workshopping it still 6 years later.
You got some good ones. I'm going to right off the top because this is the selfish
yes.
this podcast.
Do it.
I'm going to say, hey, guess what? You should support Rad Wraith go to my Kickstarter because the last two issues are out. If you want to know the whole story, you can ask me at some point. I don't feel like I need to impugn any publishers or anything publicly, but you know, there were some things going on, and the books never got let out of their pen, and now we're going to let them out to run around and be free out there.
We've been reunited with your babies.
Yes, I have. I've been given the rights to my, well, mostly. They still have some of my media rights, but that's okay, because we're never going to get a Rad Wraith movie, so it's all right. yeah.
Never say never.
So anyway, there it is. Do that thing. It's awesome. And I'm really excited because if we can get this done quickly, there's a really exciting cover that I'm going to put up as a bonus thing. And, that'll be great.
So I think in the heat of the moment, what we forgot to say is that there's a Kickstarter.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
For issues 3 and 4 of
Rad Wraith,
your comic that you did with Christian Jabari. And that it's already half funded, only 2 days in, so it's
yep.
definitely on the road there. And if it gets all the way funded, then there's stretch goals that might open up, like cooler covers that are
yes.
not cooler covers, but other cool covers.
But let's face it, even Jabari would say they're cooler covers because he is also very excited about this person because he's
nice.
Done a bunch of metal albums that we're all big fans of.
Ooh!
So we're like when we
metal
you know,
albums.
Yes, it
well,
will
that's
mean
cool.
almost nothing to half the people listening, so it doesn't matter. But let's just say. It's the guy that invented fucking Vic Rattlehead for Megadeth. So
what?
Come on.
All right.
Pretty fucking cool.
Let's fund this
anyway,
shit so that we can get the Vic
shit.
Rattlehead cover.
All right.
That's cool. Yeah, it's Kickstarter.com and the comic is called Rad Wraith.
Rad Wraith.
Just in case you never heard of it. And there's a tier on there that where you can get all four
you
issues
can get all
just
four
in case
issues.
You don't have
if you
one
need
and
to catch
two.
Up. Yeah, please. I would much appreciate it. I made sure to make the levels cheap so that they're the cost of a comic. They're not more money than a comic costs.
Yeah.
It's $6 per comic. If you get the two comics, it's $12. If you get all four comics, it's $24. It's not like there are levels that are just the comics and you don't have to get all the other nonsense. And I made a bunch of other nonsense if you like it. So
there's a cool t-shirt.
There's also a cool t-shirt.
Which you didn't show in your Kickstarter, by the way.
there's two.
One of your rewards is literally, it's like, what does it look like?
Oh, yeah. The B cup.
No, the t-shirt.
The secondary t-shirt. Oh, do I not have it on there?
I didn't see it.
Oh, shit. I should put it up there.
You should.
It's very good.
It's my only criticism.
Oh, it's by the guy that did Skeeters.
Yeah. You talked about it. I was like, what's it look like? And then I couldn't see it.
Oh, shit. I will put that up.
Get it
anyway.
On there.
All right. Let's talk about comical books. Let's talk about comical bookulations. Here is, this is actually probably the last time I really liked Brian Azzarello. We're talking 100 Bullets, the 2024 reissues. They are the double-sized new big old trades from Black Label.
Big old trades.
Instead of those little tiny ones that Vertigo put out. Awesome. I love
nice.
This series. Yeah. This was like my favorite thing that he's ever done. This is the reason why everybody loves him at this point. I think he can ride on this for the rest of his life.
Yeah, he pretty much did this thing and now he gets to do comics forever.
He gets a free ride. He can put Batman's dick wherever he wants from now on.
Wave it around.
He has two of them, like nunchucks on a chain, and he just
oh man, that would be so gross. I would not read that comic. I still to this day regret, like, I looked at the Batman's dick comic and was just like, nah, this isn't for me. I could have bought it and sold it for like a ton of money.
Yeah,
I bet you could still sell that for money.
I don't think it's a lot of money, but I think it's some.
Yeah.
I think once
more
people...
than you paid for it is a profit.
Exactly.
Anyway, whatever.
Alien, Volume 2 trade paperback, Descendant, which is very cool. This is the Declan Shelvey. I don't know how to say this person's last name. Bracardo, is that it?
No idea.
I believe it's Bracardo. I love the art in these and
Ricky Bracardo.
Ricky Ricardo, yes, Babalu, etc. Really, 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 like, the second half of this trade paperback is fucking awesome. I like the first half, too, but the second half is, like, just gold. Cool. Anyway, Alien Black and White and Blood number 3 is out.
I don't know why it's called Black and White and Blood and not Black, White and Blood and Green, because it also has green.
Because Alien Blood is green.
That's the answer to that question that I didn't consider.
They're so slimy. They're all full of weird toxic
Black,
slime.
White and Green Blood.
Black, White, Green Blood and Red Blood.
And Red Blood.
I mean, the thing is that there is also red. That's why it's
confusing.
That's why it's just blood, because they're gonna have, now they can have any kind of species blood in this, so they're only gonna color the blood.
Cow blood.
Which is, as everyone knows, sort of pinkish purple. Yes. anyway, Avengers 12 is out, and it's
yes,
a comic book.
It is tying into the X-Men comics now, because there's not enough comics tying into that. Now Avengers is part of it.
So true. We've got the second printing of Avengers Twilight number 3.
Ooh.
We have Bad Dream, a Dreamer story trade paperback. It's one of those little cute, adorable graphic
YA
novels. Yeah.
DC offering.
Yes. And we've got Batman 146.
Hmm.
Tell me about this. I did not read it.
Well, I
tell me
it's
why
one
it
of
seems
those
to be selling better than an average Batman comic.
Oh, well, the reason is because they tied the Joker into past Batman continuity in a way that is sure to be retconned before you know it. It's just like, hey, there's a new wrinkle in the origin of Batman. It involves a Joker, and, you know, okay.
A tinkle in
time. It's fine. It has good art, and then it's a Batman comic.
Jean-Paul Godard.
Godard.
We've got Batman and Scooby-Doo Mysteries number 4.
Forgot to read it.
It's too bad. This cover is
I like the cover.
Compelling.
Yeah. I forgot to read it though. Sorry.
That's okay. I have a feeling there was shenanigans.
Perhaps.
Perhaps shenanigans.
Shenanigans? Perhaps.
Batman Brave and the Bold Volume 1, The Winning Card trade paperback.
Oh, does this have the Joker story in it?
I mean, it must.
Yeah, I bet they probably delayed it because it took so long for the last part of it to come out.
I mean,
but now
this
that it's
is
out,
the,
they
this
put
is
it all
Tom
here.
King and Mitch Gerard's.
Yeah,
so
it's that Joker story for the the retelling of the origin
that
of the Joker.
One, okay, yeah.
Where
yeah.
he talks in silent film cards.
Yep, that's
yeah,
it.
But it came out so long after the debut of the series because the last chapter of it took a long time to come out for some reason that probably involves them doing some kind of high profile comic behind the scenes.
Yes. Or some sort of, is Mitch Gerard's the My Chemical Romance guy?
No, you are, that is the second person you have confused Gerard Way for.
Gerard,
we won't mention
wait,
the first
is
one.
Is Gerard Butler the other guy?
No, that's the third person that you've now confused for Gerard Way,
okay.
Singer of My Chemical Romance.
Is it Gerald Von Stoddard?
It is not. Former owner of Coast City Comics, Gerald Von Stoddard. In fact, no, it is not. It is also not Gerard Depardieu either.
He's my father, the hero.
Oh, whoa. You just blew my mind. Oh, man.
Toto, the hero, for those across the pond.
Ah, yes.
Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, number 2 and number 3 reprints.
Oh, man, the number 3 has a Jesse
Lonergan. It's so good.
It's very, very good. If you wanted Jesse Lonergan to get just like a little bit grosser, then
like,
here it is. But it's still...
But just a little bit.
Just a little bit. It's like, how do you vivisect a tiny woodland creature in a way that is absolutely adorable? And I almost bought this comic again just to
all
have
the
this
little
cover.
Like, all the little heads that are all little screw-in
I
light
love
bulbs.
Jesse Lonergan.
Like,
he has, like,
so
unlocked
good.
The magic formula of, like, just, like, when somebody has, like, hits a style that just, it is... He's just got it.
He really
just
does.
Got it.
He's so perfect. And it is a he. I was unaware of their...
I believe it is a he. I genuinely am not. That is not a thing
that
I
was
know
a,
for certain. I just assume
that
it's
That was
a,
just a... I don't know.
Maybe Jesse Lonergan is not a he. I don't know. It's
fair
possible.
Enough.
I'm sorry if I misgendered you, Jesse Lonergan, who definitely does not listen to this podcast.
Exactly. Birds O' Prey. Number eight.
Oh, man. They do a Matt Fraction style.
No.
It's amazing. Barda is naked in it at one point, and they use a Jack Kirby Barda head to, like, cover her private parts. Okay. Like how Hawkeye, like,
I
in the,
that.
Like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I
the,
remember.
It's so good. That's I good. Love Birds of Prey. It's very good.
Awesome. We got Black Butler Volume 2 back in stock. Blue Butler. Fucking Blue Beetle number 8. God,
Gerard
damn,
Butler on the brain.
Is it Black Butler? Is that
it? Is
that the singer for My Chemical Romance?
It is, no.
Okay.
That is called The Black Parade, and it is an album featuring Gerard Way of My Chemical Romance.
Jesus Christ, my poor brain.
That's okay. I'm honestly, it's just great to think about things that are not serious for.
It just needs. I need
a few, just a few brief respite moments of after
only,
this week.
If only I could cut my head open, pull my brain out, and wash it like in the sink.
Oh, like in Eternal Sunlight of the Spotless Mind.
I haven't seen Sunshine. It, but sure.
That's a they erase oh, traumatic great. Memories.
That would be wonderful. So we got Captain America number 8, which actually sold out. What?
Yeah, I don't know why. It's just him and some butterfly people. I didn't get it.
Nobody was reading it until now, so I don't fucking
yeah,
weird.
There must be something in it for some reason.
Must be something. It's not completely sold out. We do still have some variants for it, but we...
The variants this week are like vampire,
yes.
Classic Marvel vampire cover
really,
homages.
Really happy with the like Tomb of Dracula homages that are going on. They are super fun.
Jesse Lonergan is definitely a dude. Googled him.
Yep. His Wikipedia page is just his dick and him saying, I identify as a man.
Swinging his enormous horse cock.
There you
no,
go.
I'm sorry.
Horse cock.
Yes. It took us this long. So those playing the game at home, 5 minutes was your winning horse
you
cock.
That's when it came out. Crashdown number 3.
I didn't read this. It didn't look interesting to me.
This is our friend Ben Temple Smith.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ben Temple Smith.
Yes, he crashed down in the land of the Delta Blues.
Looks like you might have sold out of that one too.
Weird. We got restock of the classic Creepshow graphic novel, not the new one.
Ooh,
but
the one with Bernie Wrightson art.
The Bernie Wrightson, George Romero, Stephen King one,
yeah.
Which is so good, which was probably the most formative piece of fiction that I may have ever read, with the exception of It. Like, I read this way too young. One of my friend's brothers had it, and I think I read it when I was like 7, and it blew my fucking mind.
We were in similar boats, but in different circumstances. For me, there were like certain comics, like I read comics from literally as long as I can remember being alive. I've read comics. But there were very few comics where, like, the friends of mine that didn't read comics were, like, super into them.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, the Creepshow graphic novel
yes.
was absolutely one of those,
yep.
The original, and also the Longshot miniseries.
Oh, weird.
Yeah,
okay,
I knew, like, several people. No, it does.
Really?
It was cool. That was, like, cool.
Yeah,
like,
just,
it's
weird.
At the time, 1985.
Yeah, but, so, here's the thing. Like, so when I was growing up, I didn't know anyone who read comics, and there was no place for me to get comics.
Oh, I got them from a thing called the newsstand.
I did actually have them available to me at Marston's,
ooh.
Which was the Hallmark store in town.
Nice.
They had a small selection of comics, I think usually completely out of date and beat to hell and, like, just kind of existing there. But that was the only place I had ever seen them before. And by the time I ever actually noticed that they existed there, I was already reading Stephen King novels. So I was
nice.
Like obsessed with that instead. So that's what I got. That's what I got from Marston's at the time was I remember very clearly getting that beautiful black paperback of Salem's Lot with the single blood tear.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yep.
So happy.
I purchased my comic books from a store called the Castine Variety in my town, Castine, where I grew up.
That makes
and
sense.
For some reason that I do not, and makes no sense even to this day, they got their new magazines on Sunday.
Huh.
A weird day for any newsstand to get new periodicals. However, what happened is that my parents would force me to go to Sunday school. And then after I was out of Sunday school, I could leave.
Okay.
And I would go down and I would get to the Castine Variety and they would have all of their magazines and comic books bundled and they would be unbundled and I would beg them to open them so that I could look at the comic books. And after a couple weeks of that, they were like, how about you just do it? And I was like, fuck yeah. And so then nice. I would literally stock the magazines and comics of the entire That's variety amazing. Store. And then I got first pick of everything. Like That's I awesome. Just unbundled, like just how you unbundle your stuff that yeah, comes with yeah. like a strap around it and you cut yeah. the strap. Like that's.
Oh, wow. That shit used to be strapped in like that?
It was had a little like band around it Ooh, and you just cut wow. the band and then you could open up. And I had first crack at all the comics and that was like my thing. I had like an allowance of $3. And at that time, comics were 75 cents, which meant I could get four comics.
Nice.
And I would get four comic books, and then I would make my way back to my parents when they were done worshiping Jesus.
Nice.
We would get in the car, and I would go home and read my Teen Titans.
And you would worship at the altar of the unholy
Marv Wolfman
comic
and
books.
George Perez.
Yes.
Who I referred to as George Perez because I didn't know any better.
Nobody knew. He didn't tell anybody.
Nah. But, yeah, yeah. So, and then if I was in Bangor visiting my grandparents, I would get my comics at Mr. Paperback.
Oh, man.
Late lamented Mr. Paperback.
Loved that Mr.
God,
Paperback.
I loved that store.
That was pretty amazing.
And I would get back issues at Lip and Cut Books in Bangor.
Oh, also very cool.
Yeah. Actually, Stephen King used to go there.
Yes.
That was like one of
and
the bookstores.
And Mr. Paperback.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah. I used to see him walking from Lip and Cut Books when we would drive there.
This is not a Stephen King podcast, although I am going to plug the fact that there's a big Stephen King event in town and you need to go to it and we're sponsoring it and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But, so,
we can get to that.
So on this front... That Mr. Paperback that you refer to is actually a historically very important...
Are you talking about the one downtown Bangor?
Yes.
Or the one out by the Bangor Mall?
Oh, shit. It's the one by the mall.
Yeah, okay. I went to both.
I think it's the mall one. It's
the
one
downtown
of the
one was the big, like, kind of, like, one that was, like, a physical store that existed on its own. And then the one out by the mall was, like, in the mall.
Yeah, one of
so
those...
So he wouldn't have walked to that one, but he would have walked to the one downtown.
Yeah, I believe it was the one by the mall, but I'm a little iffy on this story. But when he originally released Salem's Lot, my favorite book, he...
A.K.A. Jerusalem's Lot.
The first story was called Jerusalem's Lot, based on the place where the pig lived.
Jerusalem's Lot.
Yep. He had all of his first printings that he got sent to him before they were sent anywhere else for this signing. And so there are 200 books that were sent specifically to this signing. I believe it's 200. It might be more, but it is a very small number. And on the inside flap, the name of the priest is misspelled. And there are two or three other errors inside the inside flap of that particular one. And that is the absolute first edition of Salem's Lot. And it is worth an obscene fortune. And... they're probably floating around Bangor somewhere.
Nice.
Like collectors are always just like looking around Bangor for those motherfuckers. That is like
Bangor
where
book
those
auctions.
Live.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
That's where those really expensive 200 books live. So.
Well, Lippincott's was like the used bookstore, and it actually had back issue comics, and I bought. I still have them, old issues of All-Star Squadron that were all autographed by Jerry Ordway.
That's weird.
Yeah. They were just like, that's what he had. I don't know where they came from, why they were there. Mm. But my grandparents lived in Bangor, so we would go there. I would go there to visit them, and you would see Stephen King commonly, just literally walking down the street reading a book, like a book in front of his face. We've talked about this on the podcast before. It's like when he got hit by that car, I was like, that makes total sense. Like he was probably walking down the road with a book in front of his face. He didn't fucking see it coming.
Yep. Oh, God damn it. I would really like to meet Stephen King someday.
Yeah,
anyway,
he's a pretty cool dude.
Daredevil Epic Collection, The Concrete Jungle trade paperback.
Nice.
Dark Souls, Willow King, number 3 of 4.
The Willow.
Dark Spaces, Good Deeds trade paperback. We got... Wait. Deadly Class Volume 12 trade paperback. I believe that's new. I think that's the ones that came out late. So
okay.
I believe that is a new thing.
I like Deadly Class because it's drawn by Wes Craig, who's good.
He is very good. You know what I liked this week?
What?
That is surprising to me.
Oh yeah?
I liked The Deadpool.
Did you?
I did. You know, I like the inclusion of a big stupid animal, and it makes me happy. I like his pet dog. And I think this, I think.
Isn't that the Venom dog thing?
He's got a big Venom dog that changes sizes and he can ride him and is like.
It's like if Carnage was a dog, sort of.
I kind of like it. Yeah, that's he's basically, cool. He's like a Carnage dog. And I think that dynamic, honestly, here's the thing. I think storytelling wise, one of the problems that people have run into is that Daredevil as a selfish, self-interested character. What did I say?
You said Daredevil.
Oh, Deadpool. Deadpool as a selfish, self-interested character is very difficult to write for a very long time with him not caring about anybody and being in it for himself and being sociopathic in so many ways. Huh. It's funny for a while, but then if he doesn't care about anything, it sucks. And in this, he literally has an animal that he's raised as a child. He also has a child that he cares for as well. But,
interesting.
But someone else is raising it for good reasons. Because he had a kid with a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent in the old series. Ooh. And she's floating around somewhere.
Okay.
But and he does interact with her, and he gives her a Deadpool signal in this one. Which, you know, like, everything about this is...
Like a Jimmy Olsen signal
watch. Exactly. So all of this is kind of trying to root him as a character who has something that's worth fighting for in some way, where it gives him a reason to be, because he's basically bitching about being eternal at the beginning of this thing, because he's immortal, essentially. And he knows this, and this is a consternation to him that he doesn't know how to live a good life. And I think this is a really smart way to do this.
Nice.
And I like this guy. So the guy.
This is written by Cody Ziegler, who writes Spider-Punk currently, yes. I believe, yep. And possibly other Marvel stuff.
Other Marvel stuff that I liked a little better than the current Spider-Punk, but
yep.
You know, we have specific problems with that one, so that's neither here nor there. But I will say, good stuff. We got a new trade, the Saga of Wade Wilson trade paperback out. We've got Deep Cuts, number 6 of 6.
With amazing art by Toby Cypress.
I don't know who that is.
Toby Cypress is a very good cartoonist. Hmm. And I like Deep Cuts. I actually really like it. I need to read this one and the one before it, so I need to catch up. This is like a Woodstock era, but it's like kind of like jazz. But these have been great, and I really like Deep Cuts. Kyle Higgins, this is by, it's always as a different artist, and this one is by, the last one was by Junie Ba, and this one is by Toby Cypress.
Nice. I just realized that I'm so dehydrated that when I take a sip of soda, it just foams in my mouth, and so I almost choked on this soda that I was drinking.
Oh, that's not good.
I should probably drink more water.
Yeah. I was thinking I could use some water myself. We need to start planning ahead.
I think maybe I need to get a fucking bubbler in the store.
Ooh, that would be a game changer,
dude. It's a little sad that I have one at the warehouse and I don't have one here.
Interesting. You have a coffee maker here.
I have a coffee maker at the warehouse.
Oh, you moved it. It's no longer here. I have coffee in my car, but I don't want to go get it.
I need coffee all the time.
I actually have water in my car, too. I should just bring it in. I just don't like to bring cups in because I always forget them, and then I have to come back.
Fair enough.
When that sucks, having to go back to the comic store.
You don't ever want to go back here.
God. Once a week is enough.
What we have here coming up is a giant pile of Funkos. Here's the thing. I am not buying a ton of Funkos, but when it comes to all the anime stuff, I'm grabbing at least a modicum of them. So we've got some of the Demon Slayer ones and things like that because... That's the only way that we can really get a lot of these figures.
Cool.
So, or at least for a reasonable price.
There you go.
We've got Diana and Nubia, Princesses of the Amazons graphic novel. It's a follow-up to the Diana, Princess of the Amazons kids graphic novel, or YA, maybe. It's
all right.
It's a little younger than YA, I think, but pretty cool. People seem to love it. We got Doctor Strange 14 out.
Oh, I'm in the middle of yawning, and I'm sorry, but Doctor Strange is great.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is wonderful.
Yeah, it's good. And you're starting to get this lead up to the Deep Throat crossover. What's it called? Fucking Blood Moon. What's it called?
I don't know anymore. Blood Hunt.
Blood Hunt. Oh, so the phone's ringing.
Stop.
Blood Hunt, and so this is the first Marvel book that has. I'm just gonna talk right over this phone ringing. It does tie in, but also this comic is good. I like Jed McKay and
nice.
And yeah,
great. Cool. We got Edge of Spider-Verse number one, second printing, if you want that crazy Weapon X version of Spider-Man. That is here.
Yeah.
That was a fun book.
Yeah.
We've got the sixth trade paperback of Firepower out this week.
That's probably the last one.
I believe so, yeah.
There you go.
We've got the second issue of The Fog.
Yeah, I did not read it.
It is a new version of The Fog. I was not terribly impressed with the first issue, so I did not check out the second issue.
Same.
I think that they're... it does feel like they are going somewhere from just from the look of the covers. I was like, you know what? Okay. Maybe they have an idea of what they're doing with this thing, just seeing what it looks like they're going for. So maybe I'll check it out. Maybe I'll have more to report by the next time an issue comes out.
There
you out. Go. More G.I. Joe classified figures, which are awesome. We've got Geiger number one.
And you got a lot of Geoff Johns comics
There's
this week.
There's a whole bunch of Geoff Johns comics this week, Geiger being one of them. This was an okay issue. I liked it.
Sure.
It's fine.
They all look good.
Yep, we got a new printing of my favorite Ghost Rider omnibus. Oh my God, the Jason Aaron run of Ghost Rider is the best.
With the ones with the warrior nuns and stuff?
Yes.
Nice. Yeah, those ones are very good.
Every single issue of this, yeah, the Zarel issues with like the blue Ghost Rider. And
yeah, that was when they brought Danny Ketch back and he had a different... He was a different color Ghost Rider.
Yes, because he was where Ghost Rider was working for the devil, he was working for the angels.
Yeah.
But the angels, in all of these stories, were just as much dicks as the devil, so...
Yeah.
Everyone's an asshole.
Those were really good. And they had that was where... What's the name of that artist that he's still... Boshy.
Yeah.
I like him a lot. He was on those. That was the last time I really liked Ghost Rider, I think.
Yeah, the same.
And it was like 20 years ago.
Well, I mean, it's just insane. It's like how they did such a good job. Tony Moore did a bunch of the issues,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because this Ghost Rider plays out like a B-movie. Like, every issue was just over-the-top nonsense. When we say the warrior nuns, it was not that classy. They were, like, nuns and nurses that, like, had their tops.
Oh, nurses, that's right,
they had, like, their tops falling off. No, they were nuns, too. But they were, like, busty nuns that were, like, super sexy and, like, murderous and giant guns. And it was all played for, like, it wasn't exploitational in that kind of way. It wasn't meant to be taken seriously. It was, like... This is the only way that Ghost Rider makes sense, is this big, overly stupid, really fun, funny, and like just gross and just fun action stuff.
I think it was the beginning of the long arc that was Jason Aaron's handling of the orb.
Oh, Jason Aaron's obsession with the orb, you mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Which never stopped. He has always been obsessed with the orb.
It's the genesis.
Yeah, I think so, yes. We got Ghost Lore number 9.
I really like Ghost Lore. This comic is getting bananas. It's getting really crazy.
It's really good. I'm really happy it actually had some place to go.
Yeah, I wonder if next... I feel like it's heading towards like maybe it's going to like wrap up or something.
I don't know.
It just seems to be building towards some kind of climax.
I think so too. I think it's going to
end. I just like, I don't know. I will read anything Leo Max draws. Yeah. Like hands down, I don't care if it's like...
Yeah.
Whatever. Like Leo Max rips. Yeah. I am a big fan.
We got Godzilla versus the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the second volume.
I would say the following about this title. If the idea of Godzilla versus the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers sounds to you like something that you might want to check out, you got it here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, it's not interesting to me at all, but it looks
the art
significantly
is amazing.
Better. Then I would expect
this
title to look and be.
Same. And I mean, I think that everybody, from judging from how the sales are on our website, I would say that everybody that slept on the original Godzilla versus the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers had regretted it, because we had a bunch of them that we still had left over on the website and they just got blown out of there. Everybody, like, there was like a week when everybody just started pulling them out. So.
That's why you got to go to coastcitycomics.com and
you
get, you know, it is my job to hype the store. So, but it's true. Like, you never know. It's also why you got to come in and get the dollar books before I get to them, because I got some good ones this week.
I just put out, I just bought a really, really good collection this week. Like, I bought three long boxes, and it was just nothing but quality. Like,
I noticed some fun stuff in the regular back issues that I hadn't seen before.
I just came back.
You almost sold me on a couple spider hands. Are those new?
No, those aren't even all. Well, I mean, they're new. Like,
maybe they got shuffled to the front because of.
What I did get in is a full run of X-Men starting at 101.
Oh, wow.
Like 101 up to 250-something.
Cool.
And so there's just, and a lot of them are in beautiful condition. Like, nice. There's almost nothing in there that was worse than a fine. So that was a really nice collection. Bunch of really good Spider-Man stuff that went out in the bins. Like, lots of really great back issues that are not on the web because some of those, like, literally when I came in, I was like, I wonder where I should put these. I pulled out the drawers, and there was like a chunk of space the size of a short box in the Spider-Man and the X-Men sections. And I was like, okay, well, clearly they need to go in store. So,
nice.
So very exciting. A lot of that stuff. I have a full run of the Turtles that I'm going to be putting out soon.
Ooh.
Like, starting at number one, going all the way up through 50, whatever.
Wow.
Or 40, whatever. Really nice. You know, some of the miniseries and all that stuff too.
Cool.
Really, really good collection. So
great.
Check the bins. There's good stuff in
check
there.
Bins, check the .com.
And check the .coms. There's also, yeah. And because I was kind of concentrating on less things that made a lot of money because I wasn't, for some reason, I stopped caring about money for a second, which was a dumb idea because now I need to make it up. But I got obsessed with putting up every 90s X-Men miniseries that I could find in the back issue bins. And so, like, the Crimson whatever, like the Crimson Dawn. That, like, those two miniseries, the, like,
did you get the Kelly Jones Magneto in there?
Both of the three Magneto miniseries, like the
Rogue by Mark Wieringo,
the two Rogue miniseries from the 90s, the two Storm miniseries,
I'd be way more into those if they were not on glossy paper.
I love how with Gambit and Wolverine, they were just like, no, every one of these is foil. Everything's foil. It's just foil all the way through.
The whole comic is foil. Yeah, has there been a comic that's entirely foil from beginning to end?
There should be.
That seems like a no-brainer, sort of.
It seems like Ripclaw should have done a 5-page comic with Ripclaw.
They should do a Silver Surfer that's all foil.
That's a good point. That's a good idea.
Marvel, are you listening?
Listen to us.
Make a $30 foil Silver Surfer comic starring Galactus. Yes.
Print it all on actual
Silver. Every page should have an explosion.
It should. But that's true for everything. Grimm number 16 is out.
Yeah, I ended up dropping this book, but I still think it looks great.
We've got / Kill Your Idols.
Honestly, I'm surprised you have not already sold out of this.
Pretty close. It's a great one. I mean, it's a reprint. It's reprints of they were in Image!
Interesting.
Wasn't that the thing?
I thought it was new.
Maybe there's new stuff in it, but yeah. I believe that some of it was from that Image.
I read something about it monthly. That was like the original creative team of Tim Seeley and Stefano Caselli are back for the 20th anniversary.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about this comic, from my layman's perspective of a person who has never bought an issue of / ever, is that they fight like all the classic Image people in it.
Fucking Super Patriot. Ripclaw.
Shadowhawk is in it.
Not Ripclaw, Shadowhawk, sorry.
What's the team there? The Liefeld team.
Wildcats.
Not Wildcats, it's Jim Lee.
Bad Rock is in which one?
What is they're called? Give me a second.
No.
Give me a second.
Okay. Yeah, I can't think of it. But while he's gone, I'm going to tell you secrets about him. Bob. No, I don't have anything.
Here I am.
What is the name of this super team?
I don't know the name of the super team yet, but the / also is called Kill Your Idols, and the team is called Bloodstrike.
You know, I never would have gotten that. Never would.
Bloodstrike, featuring Foreplay, a woman with four arms, Deadlock.
Come on.
Tag.
Just stop.
And Shogun. Also, you got your Ripclaw. Ripclaw is in it.
Oh, hooray.
Or it's Cabot. Cabot. He's not cheese. He's just cheesy. I think this guy is Ripclaw, though. Maybe he's Cabot. I don't know.
This guy is Ripclaw.
It's all these Image people are in it. And then, anyway, whatever. Like one of the Invincible people is in it. And it's all these Image guys.
Nice.
Hackslash.
I love it.
It'll be sold out by tomorrow.
It will be. We've got on top of that, you know what? Here is something that I am very excited about. I did not enjoy this series, the direction it was going prior to this, but holy shit, Immortal Thor. I love what is happening right now. This issue and the arc that it's going on, I think is fucking cool.
It does have a Minotaur man, which is always a selling point.
A very weird Minotaur man. He's now a skinless Minotaur man because he's kind of a hell version of the Roxxon, whatever that bull guy's name was.
Yeah,
because I think the Hulk sent him to hell, and now he's back with no skin. Maybe.
Yeah, he was an Immortal Hulk, and now he's in Immortal Thor.
It turns out that the reason that all of this stuff was happening, the whole point of that, again, this is Ewing, you know, wanting you to trust him for the whole time. I know those first three issues did not get me to want to continue this story, and now that I see what he was doing with it, I'm pissed that I didn't start with it. This story arc is essentially Thor. Some spoilers here. Thor is presented with a comic book in this issue, and he reads it, and he realizes that he is a comic book character, and that he is being that essentially by these evil forces putting out his comic as a corporate sponsor to Roxxon across the world, they're undercutting his, sort of in the way that the fables are more powerful the more people that believe in them. The gods have the same kind of thing in this, and because now people think of him as a corporate shill, they're depowering him through corporate masquerade. And there's now going to be an issue just of the version of Thor that is in the comic book that he is reading. They're going to release this comic book next week or next month or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's just this like ridiculous him as the Exxon, you know, Marvel's Exxon corporate sponsor. It's
interesting.
It's cool. I love it. I think it's just subversive enough to be fun and not preachy. And I think it's cool. I'm digging it.
Nice.
So that's what I will say. JLA Book 1 trade paperback is out.
This is the first chunk of the Morrison run with like a bunch of like the whole second half of it is just all these weird like one shots and stuff from the era, and a bunch of, there was like a JLA pinup book. It's like that's in there. So there's like a ton of like pinups in it and stuff. Weird. It's cool. I don't know that. Like, I think I would have lowered the price point on it if I were them.
$50 is a lot.
That's a lot for a book that's, like, basically half, like, B material.
Yeah.
But it does have all the Morrison, beginning of the Morrison run stuff, so there's very good stuff in there
as
well.
For a while, I've been annoyed that I haven't been able to get this stuff because I have, like, 5 through 8 of the Morrison run in trade paperback.
Oh, did they discontinue it so they could start doing it in omnibus form?
Yes.
Yeah.
So these are much larger. I think these are, because they're doing it on the glossy paper, it crushes down the size. So it's literally half the size of the normal volumes. So you can get 2 volumes in the same space as the original.
Yeah. I flipped through it and I was just like, it's interesting to me that like half the book is like, definitely stuff that I would pass over in the dollar bins.
Yeah, that is problematic.
Although the pinups are really good. There's a J. Stevens pinup in there. There's some really fun pinups in there, but it's just kind of like for a $50 book, you'd want it to be
I agree.
Two trades worth of Morrison.
I agree
Morrison.
That it feels like they're padding it.
Yeah, it does. And I'm sorry to say, sorry to report it.
Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong. We've got the final printings of 1, 2, 3, and 4 out, which are pretty cool.
Yeah.
I love this book, so
it's fun.
I'm making sure that we have it for as long as we possibly can in comic form. We keep getting cleaned out. And I keep getting new printings, and we keep getting cleaned out of those printings. So
hey,
I'm gonna keep going. Kaya number 17 is sold out both covers this week.
Kaya is awesome.
I mean, it is awesome.
It's a great comic.
Good reason.
And I'm glad to hear that it's sold out. Not that that means, you know, whatever. I guess there's somebody who's not getting one, but it is totally worth, like, if you're, if you probably have the trades of what's already been released in trade. Kaya is absolutely worth it. Wes Craig is awesome, and he's totally on a tear with this book.
Agree. Neil Before Zod, we've said it before, I'll say it again. This book is really good.
Yeah.
If this is the kind of thing you're into, this is about as good a Superman world book as you're going to get in the next few years. So,
you know, speaking of Neil Before Zod, the artist on this, Dan McDade, I haven't really, I've kind of glossed over the series that he's also doing at the moment with Matt Kint that's called If You Find This, I'm Already Dead, magazine size thing. You need to read that book. It is phenomenally good.
Really?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it is like top tier.
I don't even think I gave it like a cursory glance. I think I need to go back.
You should. It's like post Kirby epic fucking crazy fucking shit where it's like basically it's a weird kind of future world, but like, you know, like in the way that Alien is like future, you know, like not that far in the future.
Gritty
kind
future.
Of thing, but it's like an alien world kind of thing, and there's this ship, and the main character you're following is a journalist who basically is stranded on this fucked up world of aliens, and it's from her perspective of just like what she's experiencing on this world, and it's like issue two is like so good.
Nice.
So fucking good.
Okay.
Like, cause I got number one thinking like this looks cool, and then I read number two and I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. And Dan McDade is very good, and he also drew Neil Before Zod, which is out this week.
Word. We've got Last Mermaid number two.
It's sad.
It's got a cute little guy on the cover.
Yep.
Anyway, Local Man volume two trade paperback is out.
Nice.
Check this thing out. It's really good.
People love it.
It's one of these things, like, it's not selling very well in issues, but everybody that's buying it thinks it's the best thing going, so maybe check it out.
Yeah, it's worth checking out.
Love Everlasting number 14.
Also probably worth checking out in trade as well.
Yeah.
But Love Everlasting is cool as
that
well.
That is definitely in trade.
It is definitely one of my favorite Tom King books, and I am hit or miss with Tom King, but I think this is a hit.
Yep, we've got the facsimile edition of Marvel Secret Super Wars Heroes Facsimile Secrets.
There is a faction of people who are greater than just myself, but who I include myself in that number, that lost their fucking minds when this comic came out. This was one of the first Marvel comics I ever read. It's so good. It is hands down one of my favorite Hulk stories ever. It's
so good. No, this
it's
this
so
is,
good, and that cover is just like,
you are not the only person
masterpiece.
This particular Hulk story.
I almost bought the foil
like
cover.
A big deal for them.
I saw it and I was like, and the foil cover was the same price as the regular cover. I was like, I should get the foil cover. It doesn't look as good in foil. It's not like that image is crisper on regular paper, but
one of those people is Ross Kearney, who was a big fan of this issue.
Oh, nice.
And I believe he had the opportunity to purchase this cover at one point. And
sleeping on the job, Ross.
Was like, I don't know if I can justify $25,000 for this or whatever.
Yeah, okay, sure. All right.
But
if I had $25,000, I'd probably fix my house.
Exactly. I think it actually came, calling it an opportunity to buy it is silly, but I mean,
like, it came across his desk.
It came across his desk.
Got an opportunity to take a photo.
To basically have it near him, and it was like one of the most important issues.
But this is like one of those classic like negative space covers that it's by Bob Layton, and the story is basically just like the heroes show up on the Secret Wars world, and the first thing that happens is that the villains drop a mountain on top of them, which is just like a baller move, just like slam, and it's like, oh, they're dead, and then they just fly off, and then you find out like how they survive, and it's like, you know, through the ingenuity of Tony Stark and Reed Richards and just the back of the Hulk, like it's all on the back of the Hulk. And it's actually if you're a fan of the Hulk And this actually, I would say this comic probably made me a fan of the Hulk ultimately, that and the show, the TV show. But if you were following the Hulk at that time, this was like one of the first times where he started, like he was really smart at the time. And then certain things started happening where he was becoming dumber, like regular dumb Hulk again. And this was one of those, like, it actually tied into the continuity of the regular Hulk book where it was like, oh, why is the Hulk starting to get dumb again? It's like, oh, it's sort of explained in Secret Wars. So kind of like that cool Marvel, like, Jim Shooter era, like, it's all one story kind of thing where you still actually believed it was all one story, unlike today, which is too disjointed to ever believe that.
Agreed. Minor Threats, The Fastest Way Down, number one.
Oh, the art in this is really good. Scott Hepburn.
Monster Bash magazine number 53. It's got Gorgo in it. Who doesn't love Gorgo?
Who does?
He's British Godzilla. Why wouldn't you love him?
I like him. I have a comic, a cool comic. Oh, I sold it actually.
I'm so sorry. Her. Again, misgendering Gorgo.
Oh, that's right, because the one I have has the Gorgo's baby. Yeah.
Gorgo's out for her baby.
Baby.
Yeah. She's like, fuck you guys. Some dumb circus dildos fucking kidnap this baby Gorgo. And they're like, look at this horrible monster. We're going to put it in prison. And then they're like, oh, shit, that was just a little one. And then the giant one is like, give me back my kid.
Yeah.
Destroys all of London.
That's right.
Take that. Mortal Terror, number three.
Right.
How about One Hand, number three?
It's a comic book I've not been reading.
How about Poison Ivy, number 21?
It looks cool.
Excellent. You've got a Pokemon Pocket Expert trade paperback. I don't know what that is. It's got all the facts that you need to know about Pokemans. Power Pack Into the Storm, number 4. Red Sonja, Empire of the Damned, number 1.
Right.
This I'm actually interested in, and I wish I had checked out. I forgot that that's what this was. When I saw it on the shelf, I forgot that this was the Steve Niles horror Red Sonja book that I need to read. And I
didn't like the art.
Didn't check it out. But I'm now want to read it because I like Steve Niles. We have the most inexplicable book of the week. Red Coat.
Yes.
Why does this exist?
I cannot tell you. The
Bob.
No, it's like it makes absolutely no sense. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. Was not for me.
Supposedly, let's assume, an audience of people that really want a very, very well illustrated comic about a red coat who time travels or something and maybe fights German guys. I don't fucking know. I don't know. This comic,
confusing.
You could not pay me to fucking be interested in whatever the fuck is going on in this comic. I'm sorry.
Yep. I fall into the same category. I did not get it. I tried.
It's like literally someone just gave Geoff Johns a bunch of money to do new comics, and he was like, I'm just going to take all DC's talent, and we're going to just do bullshit comics that nobody cares about
and
just to like raise middle fingers at DC.
I swear everything in this whole relaunch, with the exception maybe of Rook, was all first thought, best thought. Like every single thing was just him going, it's a radioactive guy and he's got a dog. It's a red coat from the Revolutionary War and, time travels.
Yeah.
And he's just like, writes it down and he's like, all right, these are all going to be stories.
I actually don't even know if he time travels. He might not time travel.
He's immortal or some shit.
I don't know what it is. He's got sideburns.
He falls asleep in a coffin and wakes up and some Germans.
Yeah. It's just a bunch of gobbledygook. It looks nice.
But Rook Exodus, number one, is one of the other ones. This was my favorite of all of them. I thought this was definitely the best shot at doing this. It was, but also, it's weird because it's the one that I have the most problem with because he felt like when people do these kind of relaunches where they're like, I'm going to make a Justice League, but it's going to be all of the blah, 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 fill in the blank. And then they're like historical figures, all philosophers, all kickboxers, all whatever. In this case, this is your Batman. Like this felt so Batman-y to me. Like you could, if you wrote a Batman comic where he got a mask that controlled birds, you would write him exactly the same way. But that said, this is a very strong book. The art is so gorgeous.
The art's good. The art's good in Redcoat too.
And the only problem with, I mean, so the benefit and the problem with this is it's basically a demographic issue. If you are somebody who is going to enjoy a wasteland type, like, to be honest, what all I could think of when I was reading this was, wow, this was a wasted opportunity where they, speaking of Stephen King, this could have been a Dark Tower book that would have been so good. Huh. But in that case,
well, this, don't they all have to take, they all can team up. So yes, they all are in the same world. So I Geiger mean, already is, exists. So now they all have to be able to tie into Geiger.
This is a Justice League. They're trying to pull together some sort of Justice League thing here. But again, Rook was my most enjoyed version of this. So that's what I would say. Cool. It is bleak though. Sacrificers number 7. Speaking of bleak,
Sacrificers is
Bleakin and Beacon.
My faves. I love it. I really love it. This is like end of the first trade, beginning of the second trade. So it's kind of like a pacing issue.
Yep.
Which not to say it has pacing issues, it's just like it's kind of like moving the story to where it's going next. Not the strongest issue individually of the series, but just this book is gorgeous and I love it and it is great.
Nice.
And it is if Petrolhead hadn't come out, it would still be my favorite comic.
And we also, and if you want to catch up, the trade paperback comes out this week as well.
I immediately sent a photo of it to my friend who I talked about it. It was like, here you go. Now you can get the trade. Because nice. That's what I think a lot of people want. And it's in book form. And yeah, definitely the first trade of Sacrificers is very good reading.
Nice.
Highest possible recommendation. If I had another thumb, I'd give it 3 thumbs.
Nice.
Up, not down.
Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? Number 127 is out.
I did read this one.
And where was he?
He's with them.
Rover Rear is the answer.
Rover Rear, of course. No, it was fine.
Okay. Sensational She-Hulk number 7 was really good.
Liked this quite a bit. I'm kind of, the storyline is like should have been 2 issues and not 3, but I'm okay.
It's funny. Like, this would normally be the kind of book that I would not be into for the fact that it has leaned so heavily into romance.
Yeah.
Like, the romance angle has taken over this. And what I used to love about She-Hulk was that the romances tended to be in there, but they tended to be background. Yeah. And it tended to be more about the relationships in the office, and I loved the office dynamic more than I like her personal relationships. Because like the office was so colorful and so full of fun characters and all that, and getting rid of that office dynamic kind of bums me out.
Yeah.
But I'm still digging this. It's almost, it's good. As though She-Hulk is just like kind of always good across the board.
Yeah.
So love it. Anyway, we've got Shazam number 10.
New creative team.
We've got Sonic the Hedgehog, Fang the Hunter, number 3.
Sweet.
We've got a Spider-Man 2099 Omnibus Volume 2, for some reason. We've got, oh, you know what? This is another surprise.
Yeah, I was actually, if it's what I think it is.
Shadow of the Green Goblin, number 1. This was a really good book.
Yeah, it was. Very high quality.
Weird.
Very high quality Marvel book.
I got to tell you, I looked at this thing.
I was not expecting it.
My first blush look at this thing, I was like, oh, this is going to be crap.
I mean, the covers are kind of cheesy.
They're a little on the cheesy side. They do not really...
They're very Silver Age Marvel, but when you open the book and realize where it's set, it kind of tracks.
It does, but I think the funny part is that like when you look inside the cover and you see that first page splash, it's like, bro, this should have been your fucking cover. That first page splash is so beautiful.
Yeah.
But this is,
I gotta say, J.M. DeMatteis absolutely still has the goods.
Yeah, no kidding.
This is like, it's a basically like a year one Spider-Man story. He fights some weird demon in it. Like, there's a new villain.
He's fighting. So essentially, the idea is that Norman Osborn, when he was experimenting on the Green Goblin serum, he had this test subject that he gave the first version of the Goblin serum to and realized that it was making him insane and made him too strong and crazy. And so he was like, well, I got to fix that. And then locked him in a room where he could like figure out what was going on psychologically with him, and has been doing tests with this proto-goblin, as they call him.
Yeah.
For this amount of time. And so that's who that is.
That's cool. But it's, yeah, no, it's good. It's like teenage Peter Parker, Aunt May, Uncle Ben is freshly dead. Gwen Stacy's in it. So it's after that point but it's just very good. And the art was like very strong for, it just surprised me. Like some of Marvel's like flagship books don't have art this good.
No, not even remotely.
Yeah, I agree.
Wow. Amazing Spider-Man has never been this good.
it was very strong. Like I didn't it wasn't a take home for me because, like it was very good. It was very good. Very surprising.
Spirit World trade paperback is out.
I like Spirit World. That was fun.
Alyssa Wong.
Yeah, very good.
Star Wars 45 is out.
Cool.
We've got
I like that Stormtrooper cover. It's cool.
I do too. That's good. We got Suicide Squad Kill Arkham Asylum number 3 based on a video game.
It's polybagged, so
of a similar name, probably because it's got a code for I don't know.
I'm sure.
Whatever. Killer Croc
could
strap
be good,
on
could
or
be
something.
Bad. Nobody knows. It's Schrodinger's Suicide Squad comic book.
Yes. And it is that because no one will ever read it.
Huh.
Superman 78 The Metal Curtain number 6.
Nice.
It's a great book.
Yay.
If you're looking for one of those, you get it.
I like it.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Saturday Morning Adventures. We got that.
Cool.
We got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Source Book number 2.
Cool.
We've got That Time I Was Reincarnated as a Slime Omnibus Volume 1.
Oh, man. When's the Reincarnated as a Vending Machine Volume 2 coming out?
Soon?
I'm dying for that. Like, it needs to come out. I cannot wait for that comic.
I watched the first arc of That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Slime. It's fun.
The slime, sure. Okay.
I like it.
But I'm less into the slime as I am as Reincarnated as a Vending Machine.
Fair enough.
That one's way better.
We have the Unstoppable Doom Patrol trade paperback out.
Nice.
That's
a fun series.
We got in Tick the complete Edlund and then sold out of it instantly, which is great. I love my customers that they would literally... maybe... Oh, shit, I should pull it because it's sold out on the website.
Yeah, I was going to say you might want to pull those.
Okay, crazy.
Yeah.
I'm super happy because this is my favorite comic of all time. So
yeah, that's awesome.
More people need to read this.
Maybe next time you get it, I'll actually find it. I've never read any of these.
Just one of my favorite things of all time.
Nice. I think I would maybe read the complete Edlund.
Yes, I mean, that's where it's at, is that whole schlemiel.
Nice.
Unstoppable Doom Patrol trade paperback, Vengeance of Moon Knight number 4.
It was very good. It's for a comic that has that much tiger in it, I probably should have bought it, but I didn't.
Venom number 32 is out. No idea what's going on here.
It's confusing.
Sure is. Victoria's Electric Coffin volume 1 trade paperback.
All right. What does it do?
Sure.
It's electric.
It's no Dr. Skeleton's celebrity toilet, but it's pretty good. Which was a comedy bang bang joke, which I really enjoyed.
Nice.
Void Rivals number 8.
Cool.
It's out. Walking Dead Deluxe 86.
Cool.
Witchfinder Omnibus. That would be Sir Edward Grey, the Witchfinder.
The Witchfinder. He finds the witch.
He finds the witch. We got X-Men number 33. Loved it.
The Doom, the X-Men of Doom are back in it. That's the selling point for me
Doom's,
on that one.
Doom's mutant team.
Although I didn't bring it home. Is cool to see them again.
I got
to
tell you, like,
it's the only thing Jerry Duggan has ever done that was good.
I love where this is going. I don't want to spoil the ending, but, like, what is happening as the big bad going forward for this? Two thumbs up. I'm very excited. I love it. I love the twist at the end of this. Not even a twist, just like where it's going.
Cool.
Super into it. And that's it. That's X-Men is it. That's all we got.
X-Men is it.
Yes, just
not
like
Coke.
Just like Coke was back in the old days.
Coke
now
was it. Now X-Men
now it
is
X-Men.
It.
Yeah, so there we go. Thank you for listening. And
you should talk about the Green Hand Stephen King thing.
Yeah, honestly, I can't remember when it's happening.
We'll talk about it next week.
But needless to say,
Stephen King thing at Space Gallery.
John Campopiano, our friend who I believe he has an Oscar now.
Ooh.
I'm not sure if he shares it with a bunch of people because he worked on an Oscar winning documentary. So I don't know how much of that Oscar he owns, but fucking nuts. We debuted his documentary on Pet Sematary at one of the Coast City Comic Cons. And I believe we also showed, we put on his It documentary, Pennywise, at Space Gallery. He's going to be showing Pennywise again. He has a book coming out based on that. He will also be bringing screen-used Tim Curry It costume.
Cool.
So the clown costume, the Pennywise costume, will be there, which is really exciting. We're going to be doing a... one of Michelle's friends is writing a book on Stephen King about all of the locations in Maine. It is a Maine-specific thing, like going through where all of the locations, the fictional locations, are based on the actual locations in Maine. It's basically like a tour guide to Maine based on Stephen King locations. And she will be there talking about it with John Campopiano. We're going to show the It documentary.
Nice.
And we're also going to have a Carrie-themed photo booth that we're setting up. So
where you get blood dropped on you?
We're going to drop blood on your head. No, we're just going to give you roses and stand you behind the whatever it is.
Oh, man, I would do it if you drop blood on my head. I would do it in a second.
It would be amazing. we decided that was too messy, but I think we'll still do the photo booth. But yes, this is going to be awesome. You should come. We're going to make new merch. There's going to be some fun, crazy Stephen King stuff that we will, of course, bring. The Green Hand will, of course, bring Stephen King books because no one has better Stephen King books than Michelle.
Yeah.
Like,
that's truth.
Michelle currently has a first printing of Firestarter signed by Stephen King and signed by Drew Barrymore.
Whoa.
With the premiere, the movie premiere, the playbill that they handed out at the Bangor premiere that she went to, and it's also signed by Stephen King and Drew Barrymore, and it also has like a personalized note with it, and it, insane. This, some of the shit that Michelle has is fucking insane.
That's great.
And for my birthday last year, one of the things that she gave me was a signed Stephen King The Raft, which is a magazine pullout from Gallery or some men's magazine. I think it was like a legitimate like porno magazine.
Sure.
But signed by Stephen King, and it has a full cover illustration on it and everything. So it's like, it's basically like an ash can and it's like framed.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, when it comes to Lovecraft and Stephen King, good luck finding a better selection. So, go to the Green Hand, go to Coast City Comics, go to our events, do these things, support Rad Wraith, do things. We appreciate it. Thank you so much. We love you all. Follow us at Actually Comics, follow us at Coast City Comics, shop at coastcitycomics.com, follow Bob at Dollar Binge.
Yeah.
And all sorts of other things. And
I think I'm going to have a porch sale this summer of comic books, too.
Ooh, I'll go.
Nice. Just buy them all.
I want all of them.
I probably bought them all from you.
I probably have maybe too many comics already. I will not be doing that.
I'm thinking about doing that, though, like a porch sale.
You totally should.
I'll let you know.
Excellent. And we will see you all next week. Good night.